Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.com.
Amen. And this morning, what I want to do is I actually want to finish a message that I preached 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I started to preach a message on faithfulness. And God kind of took us in a bunch of different areas, and what we did, we talked about what the Bible has to say about the topic of faithfulness and the difference between man's faithfulness and God's meaning of faithfulness. So this morning, we're going to get into the Word of God, and then what I'm going to do is give you a brief background of what we spoke on 2 weeks ago, but today, the specific focus is going to be around the benefits of faithfulness. Because there are benefits to your life when you're faithful. The Bible gives us a list of things that God will do when we, God's people, are faithful in all areas of our lives. Amen? So this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand with me one more time. And I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. And I will be using a few scriptures, so just follow along with me. I believe they're going to try to keep up with me in the back. But Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 23, and this scripture encourages my life. I pray that you write it down, and I'm going to use it as a springboard to dive into our topic today. The Bible says this, Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 23, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." I'm going to read it one more time. Let us hold fast. Look at the person next to you and say, hold on. Hold on. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking God that you would take control this morning. As I minister your word, I pray that you would please, Father, allow me to speak it with humility. I ask that you would open our hearts and our minds and challenge us. Not only challenge, but inspire and encourage us. Lord, would you remind us this morning that even the little things count? Remind us, God, that you're still working through us, God. You're still working things out. We're not where we want to be, but thank God we're not where we used to be, God. We're thankful that you know the end from the beginning. So, Lord, I'm asking, God, you would put us on one page, that you would allow us, God, to understand what biblical faithfulness means and the benefits that it brings to our lives. God, we thank you, we love you, we give you this time. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus this morning. Give the person next to you a high five, and you may be seated. Give it up for the worship team. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, I'm going to minister to you for just a few moments on the topic of faithfulness. And how many know that faithfulness, by definition, can be something very gray, right? People have different definitions of faithfulness. But I want to go back 2 weeks ago and minister to you for a few moments on what the Bible has to say. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 6, the Bible says, "Many men will claim his own loyalty, but a faithful man who can find." Now, this message was birthed from me understanding and searching after God, asking him, God, what do you want from me? Who's ever been there before? Have you ever prayed and say, God, what else do you want? God, I've given my all and this doesn't seem to be happening. God, where are you? Who's ever been there before? Well, in my search and in my pursuit and in my asking God, God, where are you? He reminded me that I've never left. And he began to give me a study on faithfulness. Now, when we look at this definition of what it means to be faithful, you would probably find, if you ask 10 different people what it means to be faithful, they would probably give you 10 different answers. When you look at what the word faithfulness means, according to the Webster's Dictionary, this is what it means. It means strict or thorough in performance and or duty. The more common definition of being faithful is being loyal, unwavering, dependent, dependable, and committed. But when you look at the scripture that we just mentioned, Proverbs 26, it says, many men will claim his own loyalty, but a faithful man who can find. Now, this scripture really caught my attention for one specific reason. The main reason is this scripture, it gives us two perspectives and one major contradiction. It gives us a man's perspective of what they feel faithfulness looks like, and then it gives us a perspective of what God or the Bible sees as faithful. I'm going to read it one more time. The first perspective comes from man, and this is what the Bible says. Many men will claim their own loyalty. In other words, the Bible is telling us that many men claim to be faithful. They claim to be loyal. And in the very same verse, the Bible says, but where are they? Who can find these faithful men? And this is very interesting because here you have two sides. We have two perspectives. One claims to be loyal, but the other one is asking, where are all these loyal people? A lot of times, I found that faithfulness and our commitments are often dictated by how we feel. If I feel like doing something, I will be committed. Now, the only problem with that type of mentality is that if my faithfulness is contingent upon how I feel, I might do something today, and because I don't feel like it tomorrow, I won't follow through. Are you hearing me this morning? And faithfulness is such an important topic to understand because our understanding of faithfulness, listen to me, will impact every relationship within your life. Are you hearing me? If our commitments are based on our emotions, our commitments will not be very strong. And this is the main transition, the point I'm trying to bring across this morning. Biblical faithfulness is important to understand because when we understand what it means to truly be faithful, our relationships will grow deeper and our relationship with God will grow stronger. Are you hearing me this morning? So this morning what I want to do is I want to give you the benefits of being faithful. Now, first off, I will have to say this, that being faithful is hard in this generation. It's hard being faithful to friends that are not faithful back to you. Right? Somebody wave at me, right? It's hard doing good to somebody else when good hasn't been done to you. Right? The world's view of faithfulness has a bunch of contingencies, and sometimes it is dictated based off of certain ideas. If you do this, then I will do this. But God's view of faithfulness has nothing to do with how I feel or what you've done for me. Biblical faithfulness has everything to do with being unwavering, committed, and is founded on love. So if people do me wrong, I can create boundaries within my life, but I can't cut them off. Are you hearing me? The world will teach you, you don't need them no more. They no longer live to your standards. They're no longer doing what you want, so cut them off. The Bible says not to do that. The Bible says to love and pray for those. Are you hearing me? And I say that because sometimes we can have conditional love for people when God has called us to love people as he's loved people. He even told that to his disciples. He said, love your neighbor as yourself, and by this the world will know that you are my disciples. So the church has to have a definition of faithfulness, and the biblical definition of faithfulness is founded on God's love. Because if the church has a bunch of conditions, then how many know we're going to love on people when we want to, and if they follow our ways, then we no longer. See, we don't call that relationship, we call that religion. I can't tell you how many times when I first started walking with God, I fumbled the ball, or I messed up, or I didn't do what I was supposed to, or I sinned and messed up bad. But there was leaders within the church that loved me anyways. Instead of downing me, they loved me through the process. Every now and then what they would do is they'd be like, he's hard-headed, let him go. Right? I had one leader who would tell me, you gonna learn, Trey. You gonna learn. Those of you that are older, you know where that's from. But we got to be faithful in the good and in the bad. See, 1 Corinthians 13:4 gives us a good foundation of what it means to truly love. It says, love is patient, Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Say that with me. Keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. So in other words, we can love unconditionally, but what does it tell us? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails, right? Now that is a powerful description of what love should look like. True love is unconditional. True love is faithful. Faithfulness is a quality we have to internalize and be intentional about developing within our lives. Why? Because Jesus is our model, and if Jesus is our model and he was faithful, then that means we must be faithful. Is this making sense this morning? Romans 5:8 says this, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Philippians 2:8 says, and being founded in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death onto the cross. See, Jesus was faithful, and because he was faithful, I can be faithful, right? I can be faithful towards others. I can be faithful in the little. I can be faithful even when the odds are stacked against me. Now, like I mentioned, being faithful is not always easy. But it's still our responsibility. And there are some benefits to being faithful. Let me give you the first benefit of being faithful. Number one, faithfulness will gain you favor with both man and God. Listen to me. Faithfulness, someone say faithfulness, will gain you favor with both man and God. Proverbs 3:3-4 says this, never let loyalty and faithfulness leave you. Tie them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. See, favor, the word favor means this. Finding favor means gaining approval, acceptance, social or special benefits. But when we talk about godly favor is an expression of God's goodness. The word blessed means to be divinely endowed or able to prosper. So the Bible here gives us, think about those words for a second. Never let loyalty and faithfulness leave you, right? It says tie them around your neck. That's heavy. In other words, when you leave your house every day, you gotta tie faithfulness and loyalty around your neck. And the Bible says that when we live out our faithfulness, when we're faithful in both the little and in the great, when we're faithful in all things that bring him glory, the Bible says we will gain favor with man and God. Let me give you two biblical examples. The first example is of man. When we understand what it means to gain favor with man, if you think of the story of Joseph, which is found in Genesis 38, this is what the Bible says. It says, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw the Lord was with him and the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his whole household and entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the house of the Egyptian because of Joseph. Now, this is a heavy concept because if you truly study the life of Joseph, Joseph was sold as a slave. Joseph's brothers turned on him and they tried to kill him and they left him for dead. But through it all, he was still faithful unto God. Everywhere he went, when he was sold as a slave, he remained faithful, right? His attitude didn't change towards God. He may not have liked the situation, but he said, in spite of what I'm going through, because think about that. You sell me as a slave, I'm not doing nothing. But the Bible says that he went into Potiphar's house and he worked hard. And as a result, Potiphar caught Joseph. He looked at Joseph and said, there's something different about him. There's success upon his life. God is with him. And as a result, the Bible tells us that God elevated this man because he got favor with Potiphar. See, when you're faithful at your job, You do the extra and not the minimal, you're going to catch the eye of your employer. When we show up early and we stay late and we do the extra that was not required or asked of us and we do it with a good attitude, people will notice there's something different about him. Are you hearing me? Joseph was sold as a slave, yet he was loyal and faithful to God. His circumstances didn't dictate his love for who God was. He still believed. Remember, God gave him a dream. God gave him a vision of what he was going to do. And he had to believe God through the slavery. He had to believe God when he was serving under Potiphar. He had to believe God after Potiphar, and he was accused for trying to sleep with Potiphar's wife. Read the story. He was an innocent man. They threw him in jail. And he still, in the jail, caught the eye of the jailer because he was good to other people. In other words, when we are faithful with our emotions and we are faithful in front of people and we have a good motive behind it, we'll gain favor with man. See, I'm believing that from within this church, some of you will take your place within the house of God. And because you're good at doing specific things, whether it be going down to the police station and meeting with the correctional officer and cultivating a relationship there, that you'll be the face of Victory Outreach. And as a result, they're like, man, they're always here. See, we can't just wait for the pastor to do it. Some of us that God's put it in our heart, we got to do it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Right? My prayer is that this church would gain favor with the city. Not because we chose to just have a nice service on Sunday, but because we started planning. We started thinking bigger. And we started saying we're going to do this and actually do it. And not depend on the leadership to do it, but we got to do it. Right? We got to make sure that everything we do is unto God. And not everything we try is going to be great, and we're not always going to succeed. But through it all, when we are faithful, we'll find favor with man. Are you hearing me? Secondly, when you look at finding favor with God, a man in the Bible that found favor with God was Moses. I love this scripture, and this really turned my whole perspective of what I understood faithfulness to be, and it helped me within my life. Listen to what this says. Numbers 12, 6 and 7. Listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams, but this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful. In all of my house, with him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. So here we have God speaking to all of his people. And he says, to all of my prophets, I speak to them in riddles. But this is not so with Moses. Moses is different. What does the Bible say? Look at the exact words after. He says, but this is not true of my servant Moses. Watch this. He is faithful in all of my house. The Bible says with him, I'm not going to speak in riddles. I'm not going to chase him down rabbit trails. No, I speak to him face to face. Why? Because he sees the form of the Lord. See, there is a specific power that is birthed from a man standing even when he doesn't understand. There is a specific power that God will give to a man, an insight that he will reveal to a person that is faithful. Moses was a man just like anybody else, but what was the single quality that separated him from all the other prophets? The Bible says he was faithful. Now, this doesn't imply that Moses was sinless or perfect. Moses was not perfect by any means. He was faithful. Moses was not perfect, but he was steady, he was stable, he was selfless, he was ready, and he was reliable. See, it doesn't take a lot of skill to be steady. It doesn't take a lot of skill to be reliable. It doesn't take a lot of skill to stay focused. It just takes discipline. See, that is the heart and the essence of faithfulness. See, through many long years of toiling and tears, Moses was faithful. God does not require that we have gifts, know-how, or even skill, but God will require us to be faithful. When you want to do something great for God, you don't have to be the most skilled. I'm not the most skilled guy in the world. I'm not. I'm not the greatest preacher. I'm not the greatest at anything. I do things, but I'm faithful. And I believe that when we are faithful, Like the Bible says, we gain favor from God. Are you hearing me? See, he's not called us to be perfect, but he's called us to be faithful in a world that is falling off and dying. In a world where people don't understand what faith, there are some people, listen to me. There are some people, they've never seen faithfulness in their household. Listen, I work with a lot of kids right now. And I am amazed, and my heart was broken. We were having some conversations. You know, we were part of a coaching football team, and I am amazed that I'm training these little kids, and I'm trying to keep them to be focused. And I'll never forget last year, one of the things that I do with all the kids, every time that I'm there, I'm the coach that I come, I say, hey, come on. And I come down the line, and I speak to all the kids. And one time, I put my hand up like this, and the kid went like this. Later on, I found out that he was getting abused. Come to find out that the reason why he doesn't listen is because he doesn't have anybody there to model what faithfulness looks like. And in a world where this is the norm, 60% of households in America are fatherless. How many know that the fathers of the church need to rise? The leaders of the church need to rise. We need to father this generation. Listen, mothers, you need to mother this generation. How many young ladies didn't have a mother to show them how to live life? We got to look beyond our circumstance, and we got to invest in the people, but we got to be faithful. It takes faithful to work with the knucklehead. It takes faithfulness to work with the woman that doesn't want to listen, or a man that doesn't want to listen. Why? Because it's going to try your patience, it's going to try your heart, and it will surely try your motives. But when we're praying for somebody and we understand biblical faithfulness, you're going to pray, you're going to love, and you're going to do whatever you can to bring those people forward. Are you hearing me? See, what helps me remain faithful to God's purposes for my life is this. I've learned to ask this question. I've learned to ask myself, what are my priorities? And I always ask myself, are my priorities in alignment with what God wants for my life? This question allows me to remain faithful to what really matters. Listen, I remember starting a Bible study. And we started with me, my wife, her brother, and my sister-in-law. And I remember studying and putting messages together. And the Bible study didn't grow real quick. But man, I remember putting messages together. I remember praying and putting those messages together. And I remember a few times nobody showing up, but I stayed faithful. I remember preaching to this crowd with 5, 6 people. And I remember studying for hours and nobody was here. And I remember it went on like that for a long time. But I'm going to know that we got to continue to do things faithful. When God calls you to do something, even though it seems meaningless or sometimes it doesn't feel like you're making an impact, you're not doing it onto others, you're doing it onto God. And although you don't see the seed, you don't see what God is doing, you got to remain faithful, because maybe God's not giving it to you right now because he's trying to teach you to hold on, to keep your eyes steady, to keep looking and keep believing. And maybe God hasn't given us what we want yet because he's testing the motive of our heart. He says he wants it. I'm going to love football. One of my favorite receivers is Larry Fitzgerald. One of my favorite receivers. If you know about Larry Fitzgerald, he catches every ball. So they had one of the young stars rising up in the NFL. And they said, I want to train with you. So one of the NFL Network reporters went to Larry Fitzgerald one day. They said, hey, we heard so-and-so was training with you. They said, how was that? And he, this is what he called them. He called them an HDWI. He said, oh, he's an HDWI. He said, what's that? He doesn't want it. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, when he came to train with me, I didn't tell him that I trained for 6 hours. He got tired after 3 and walked away. He's an HDWI. He didn't want it. See, Larry Fitzgerald is one of the greatest receivers to ever play the game, because when nobody is watching, he's catching balls. When practice is finished, he still stays an hour or two and has a regimen. He doesn't show up when practice starts. He shows up 2 hours before practice starts. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. If God has given you a gift, you got to remain faithful. Someone say faithful. I'll be moving along quickly. Number two, another benefit of being faithful is this. When you're faithful in the little, God will put you over much. Luke 16:10, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you a property of your own? This is a simple concept. You know that you heard it, but when we're faithful in the little things, right? I've told multiple people in the past couple weeks, and I don't know if it was a theme, but I was even telling the home, I said, you won't do tomorrow what you're not doing today. Right? We were even having a Bible study, and I said, I think I even asked, who wants a six-figure income? Right? How many in here, who would want a six-figure income? Raise your hand. My next question would be is, do you have six-figure character? Do you have six-figure integrity? Do you have six-figure commitment? I'm not downing anybody. I'm just telling the truth. I want those things too, right? Right? But the question is, do I have those things in place? See, God, I keep saying it, and I, this has been a theme. God is not going to give us what we pray for. He's going to give us what we're prepared for. Are you hearing me? There's a story of a man by the name of George Bolt. He worked faithfully for years at the front desk of a small hotel. And one day, an elderly couple came into his lobby and asked for a place to stay, but there was one problem. Every room in the hotel, every room in every town nearby was occupied because there was a convention. When Bolt realized that these people were not going to find a hotel to stay in, this is what he did. He offered up his room. And although they were reluctant to accept him staying in his room, he said, no, you stay in my room. Don't worry, I'll stay in the lobby. The next morning when the couple was checking out, the elderly man looked at George, and this is what he said. You're the kind of man who should be managing the best hotel in the country. Someday, I'm going to build that hotel and let you manage it. This man, George, had remained faithful at his job for years. Years later, Bolt received a letter in the mail, and it contained a round-trip airplane ticket and a note from the man who had stayed in his room years before. The man that George gave his room to invited him to New York City. When Bolt arrived in New York, the gentleman took him to downtown corner where a huge building stood. George said, this hotel is the hotel that I have built for you to manage. Bolt stared at amazement, looking at this hotel. And you know which hotel it was? It was the Waldorf Astoria Hotel, one of the most famous and richest hotels in all of New York City. This man who was faithful at a little hotel had the heart to run a big hotel. See, God will bless you when you are faithful. Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful man will abound with blessings. Matthew 25:23, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful with the few things. I will put you in charge of many things. And lastly, a benefit of being faithful. God supports and watches over the faithful. Psalms 101:6 says this, my eyes shall be upon the faithful in the land, that they may walk with me. And one who walks in blameless will minister to me. This is beautiful because when we're faithful, God will support and watch over us. Well, somebody might have the question, well, doesn't God watch over everyone? Yes, he does. However, the words be upon in this scripture, it means to support, confirm, uphold, and nourish. In other words, the Bible is telling us that God will support, confirm, and uphold and nourish the souls of those who are blameless and faithful before him. Are you hearing me? See, this is good news because I know there's been seasons within my life that I wanted to give up. There were seasons in my life when I didn't know if I could make it another day. Somebody work with me this morning. There's been seasons when I'm like, man, I don't know if I could serve God. But I can tell you that through the years, I have learned to hold on to Jesus. I have learned that even my worst day following God was better than my best day. Because I have been in situations where my back was against the wall and the world by its standards probably would have flipped out, or maybe people have looked and been, I don't get it. With everything going on in your life, you should be falling apart. Yeah, but what they didn't understand is that I tapped into the word of God and I learned to pray and I learned to bring my worries to the Lord. And instead of living in my anxieties, I do what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, where it says, bring all your anxieties before the Lord in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving in your heart. And then I've understood that there's a peace that comes over my life. So not everything has to make sense. Not everything has to look good. Sometimes it looks very gray outside. Like this morning, it's not that nice, but I made it a point. When I go to the house of God, I'm going to worship God. I'm going to praise the Lord. I don't care if there's 2, 3, 10, 15, 20. It didn't matter, because at the end of the day, I want to give him glory. I want freedom for my life. And as a result, I'm going to walk in that freedom. I'm going to praise with that freedom. I'm going to praise like I believe that he is able. Are you hearing me? See, faithfulness, listen to me, will confront your commitment to God. True faithfulness will confront our ambitions and will even confront our motives. Are you hearing me this morning? See, God will strengthen you in the good times and in the bad times. Listen to me, church. This morning, the message is simple. I want to encourage you. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't you dare give up. You keep pressing in. You keep believing. You keep working. You keep fighting. You keep growing. You keep developing relationships, because God has something for you and your family. That's why I opened up with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Listen to me. There are promises that I know God has spoken to each of us in this room. If you've been coming to this church for a while, I'm sure there's been seasons where maybe you heard a word and you're like, I'm going to take that for my life. Or maybe God's confirmed to you that you're going to do this, and that by the end of your lifetime, this is what your life will look like. Listen, you look at that picture, you pray over that picture, you believe God for that picture, and you do everything in your power to position yourself so you can live out the picture you see within your mind. I know that the devil loves to come and give us Bible studies of how we're not good enough. Listen, I came here this morning to tell you are good enough. That you were fearfully, you were wonderfully made. That God knows the end from the beginning and he's still writing your story. Because at the end of your life, if we read your book, some of you, there'll be some chapters that'll be super exciting. But in the end, you win. I've read the Bible. In the end, we win. You got to stick it out. And I encourage you, if you're a part of this church, be a magnet of encouragement. Encourage somebody to keep going. Let's not just think of people we don't see. We've all been here. So-and-so's not here. So-and-so. Let's not just think about them. Let's call them. Let's love on them. And don't question them, like, where you been, man? Just be like, hey, I text three people this morning, literally. I had prayer this morning with Brother Gabe. He was at my house. We prayed this morning. God put people on my heart right after. I said, hey, I just want you to know you're a good man. People that haven't come to the church in years. Texting their brother, hey, listen, don't you dare give up. I don't know what you're going through, but God has something for you. Your encouraging words might be the very words that alter a generation for life. There's a father right now or a mother right now that may be struggling, but because you text them, because you love them, because you didn't judge them, because you understood biblical faithfulness is not about emotions, and you were willing to press through and you were willing to love on them, they said, because they loved on me, I'm no longer the person that I used to be. And because I'm no longer the person I used to be, my son doesn't have to go through what I went through. My daughter doesn't got to go through what I went through. It all started because someone understood the concept of faithfulness. And our example is Jesus this morning. This morning, as we all stand,